Oh, hey.
I like that Veterans Day intro.
Yeah, it's cute. Salute to our vets.
Yes.
Happy Veterans Day for you tomorrow.
Right.
Also, to all the Marines out there, happy birthday. This is one of Dad's favorite holidays, of course, because nice. Marines' birthday and Veterans Day following. So salute to all the veterans that have served at any point in their life that have, given up their time to help fight for our freedom.
Right.
We appreciate you. And that is what is tomorrow is for, although I will also be enjoying a day off, no lie. It's been a busy week, Mo, right?
It's been busy. It's been busy for me. I mean, it's not even going to stop for me. So try to get as much rest as I possibly can.
I heard that.
Before
I know you got a busy
comes.
One.
Yeah.
Let's talk real quick though, since you do have a busy weekend in regards to a festival. Let's address real quick the latest that happened this week in regards to the Astroworld Festival, the Travis Scott Festival, where 8 were killed and several were injured, and there's still even a young child that's pretty much struggling for his life. I think it hit everybody we all woke up and was like, wait, what? And then I know you're a huge festival goer. I know I've got one scheduled in February, I think, of this coming year, 22. What are your thoughts on this? And what did you think about when you first found out?
I mean, I was just initially shocked because it's like, wow, the count was low at first. You know, it was 2 people. We had heard rumors, and then it went to 8, and then it was kind of like mixed messaging at first. Like, we were hearing somebody was getting stabbed in the crowd, somebody was walking around stabbing people with needles. Then I heard the news about a stampede and people were getting trampled, and like one of the barriers fell over and people were trampling on that. And honestly, it was just really, really, really appalling to see. And then to see the footage of people trying to warn folks, and so many things going on with the story as it developed. And now we kind of have a concrete idea as to what happened. And I just have to say that as a festival goer, and as an older person, a festival goer, I'm not into crowds. Like, I'm not going to try to go in the mix of things. I'm one of those people that I can still hear the music, I can still see the stage, I'm in the back. I'm looking for a place where it's easy for me to get out of and go to the next thing, or just get out of if I'm exiting, just to leave. You know, I don't want to be in a situation where you're literally trapped. And I think that's just what one of those things was. And not for nothing, you know, you go to these festivals and people don't realize that even with me being in the back, it may look as if there's not a lot of people congregated near that stage. There are a lot of people congregated near that stage. I mean,
right.
For Life is Beautiful alone, just seeing images of this crowds for the Astroworld Fest, it reminded me of how the crowds looked in an aerial view for Life is Beautiful. Same thing. And God, thank God, nothing of this tragic proportions has ever happened, because if it had, I could only imagine what that looks like. And I would be totally devastated. I mean, this is a devastating thing. You would never expect that to happen, but not for nothing, in the culture of hip hop with Travis Scott and who he is, he does encourage a lot of the hype, moshing, you know, kind of that whole crowd chanting type of
behavior.
I was
going to say, like, what do you think was different? What do you think is different between something like this versus like EDC, which has like, you know, 4 times the amount of people that are there, and you don't ever see, and, you know, I'm sure some of them are on substances as well,
oh, absolutely.
But you don't see this kind of chaos and death, unfortunately.
Well, for one thing, it's not congregated in one space. Let's be clear. I mean, you've got the Speedway, which is huge. I mean, that's a huge, huge track if anybody's ever been out to the Speedway. And not for nothing too, there's a lot of options of space there. It may not look it unless you want to be in the thick of it. Yes, there's crowds right. like that. But even within those crowds, those kids like to dance. So they're going to make space for them to do their little dance. You're not going to be, God forbid, in a situation where, you know, you've got some trampling. But looking at that, too, at an aerial view, you see a lot of people packed down there as well. I just think it's just a little more space conscious. But at the same time, it's still a lot of people congregating near a stage. It's kind of crazy.
I mean, I think what threw me off too was like just the initial, when you saw everybody trampling through the entrance gates, like they were basically climbing over people to get into this thing. before it started, it even got hype, before Travis showed up, before Drake got announced, like all that stuff was happening, and you're seeing how these are people are getting trampled. And I'm just like, did anyone think that maybe this might not be a good idea, or maybe we should figure something better out? I just don't know how they're going to, you know, and then you're like, got your festival this week. And I know you won't be in a crowd, and I would never be in a crowd like that either. But what do you think can be done differently to keep from those crowds happening? You can't really control.
I mean, you can't. I mean, if you honestly were to keep, have more, first of all, the security presence was less than the ratio of people attending. I think it was 750 security to the 50,000 that were there. And honestly, if you really wanted to police that, you probably would double that, maybe triple that, and honestly have security within the crowds. You might have to have some undercovers through there. And you know how things happen when people are in panic. The first rule of thumb is to not panic and don't run. Well, these are kids. They're not thinking that. That's just like if a shooting were to occur at a concert, which has happened, and fires have broken out in clubs, which have happened. And there's been stampedes, there's repercussions and stuff like that. So honestly, I don't know, like as far as an action plan goes, I think you need to limit the capacity for one on these, or you need to do it where it's set up where there's either multiple stages or the crowd is not so close up to the stage, but push further back. Mm-hmm. And you may have to do kind of like little barriers or something to give kind of an aisleway or a pathway through the center of the crowd. Cause I know at Life is Beautiful, some of those main stages, they would have, you know, the VIP side and have the general admission. But sometimes within that crowd of GA, they throw another fencing of barriers to split the crowd down the middle. So you still had, you know,
right,
things going on where you could move around a little bit. But man,
and then the other question too is why is anyone bringing their child to a festival, let alone why? Because we noticed that one of the deaths was also a 14-year-old.
That was bad.
Mm-hmm. And it's just 14, like, 16. A, were your parents there? No, if not, why? I know times have changed. I know I'm in the older crowd, but who allows their 14-year-old to go to a festival?
Yeah, that was kind of a bunch of grown-ups. That was scratching my head too. That was scratching
or
my
bring
head,
the so. One the you know the poor child that's in the that's still in care and you know trying to fight for his life was on his dad's shoulders. Dad passes out. Child gets trampled. Like, when is the parent going to be at blame? Because we hear about the lawsuits now that are getting filed against Travis Scott, against Live Nation.
Against Drake. I mean,
is CPS going to be investigating this dad who made terrible choices in bringing his kid to a festival?
That's insane. First of all, a lot of these festivals, like Life is Beautiful, for instance, is all an all-age festival. And when we attend, I usually don't see any kids past the time it's time to get dark. And if there are kids, their parents are with them, you're seeing them pushing strollers. You know, the park opens at noon, so they get all their photos in, they do all the little park things. But by nightfall, and even at main stage or main at concerts that start performing, I see no kids. I see none. I mean, aside from the Tito's, the 21 and 22 year olds, okay, I call them kids too, but I don't see any younger children. I don't see any parents. And if I did see any parents in an inkling of that, they're in the back too, way in the back with space, sitting at one of the GA tables or having their kids on their shoulder, way in the back. No way would they ever.
What are you doing?
They would never get in that mix of crowd. And if people don't know who Travis Scott is or don't understand the magnitude of the crowd wave of it, I say you check out his documentary because that explains the whole thing as far as who he is, how his fan base is, the whole moshing, the whole encouragement of the rage dancing and all of that. That is part of his shtick. So if you didn't know that going forward, you would have never gotten that crowd. You know, I knew better just seeing him. And I'll take you for an instance. I saw Travis Scott at Marquee Nightclub in Las Vegas. And when I tell you that thing was packed for a club, it was packed. And we were in the back near one of the bars. And luckily at the bar area, they have a monitor. There was no way we could get even close to see the stage or even view it from that vantage point. We had to actually look at the monitor, hear him live, and be close to the exit, which is outside by the pool area. But it was that packed. Like, these kids don't play when it comes to him. I mean, there was no way you could get through that. And not for nothing, that was even kind of a cautionary thing because you're in a smaller venue. You're in a club, right? So what's the exit strategy on that with that?
Yeah, where's your exit? So, how can you get out? What happens if something transpires during the concert?
Right, in a club. And so you just, my best advice is, have an exit plan when you go to these things. know your nearest exits. Don't go into these crowds. It's not worth it. And if I'm not mistaken, I thought we were still in a pandemic. So why are people even congregating that close in the first place? I mean, that was my thing with Life is Beautiful. I'm like, I'm not getting near any crowds. We're still in a pandemic, mind you, regardless of us being vaccinated to entry or test 72 hours, you're still in this thing. So it was very negligent. It's very irresponsible. And I say on all sides with kids, they just never know their actions until they see the full consequences. And I know they said, well, kids were trying to tell the cameraman and kids were trying to tell people on the stage. That may be very true that they did. But at the same time, are those stagehands, are those camera people believing what these children are saying? Because it could be a prank. It could be.
And what can they do? You know, they're paid a job to do one thing.
And a lot of them probably couldn't even hear for that, you know? And I will say at festivals, at concerts, people faint. People fainted all the time for Michael Jackson. Show kept going. People faint, you know, even at EDC because they're dehydrated and stuff, but at least they're able to be pulled out. And at the same capacity of this, if you're crushed in a crowd, it gets warm. And if you're not hydrated and you're on something, and it's just so many factors that play into what can cause people to fall out and then
so much
have other variables happen. But you must have an exit strategy. You don't need to be that close to stage. Know your nearest exit points, even in a concert venue. Know that, you know, if you're in the back, you got some space, you can kind of get out of there. Just make a pathway for yourself to not be in the trenches. And I know the crowd moves, because if you get clustered, it starts to move. And then you look back and look behind and you're 100 feet away from where you started. So you got to make sure you're not moving with the crowd, kind of going against the crowd with that. Right. So,
we look forward to hearing your stories from this weekend's upcoming festival. If you notice any changes other than him not being at the concert and there being a replacement for him, you know, kind of seeing what may be looking different for you as a regular festival goer.
I know. And and I'm curious to see what the future holds for festivals going forward. Because let's be clear, Live Nation puts on pretty much all these shows. Insomniac is the only one that's different for the EDC thing, different company. But Live Nation puts on a lot of different things here. They even put on events at Brooklyn Bowl or House of Blues or even T-Mobile. Live Nation is like, you know, so I'd be curious to see what their protocols are going to be looking like going forward.
We shall see. Real quick, shout outs to Guru who tapped in earlier. We appreciate you. Our guest last week, you definitely got to check him out. Alicia, if only we could bring chairs into festivals, man. It would
be
such a...
Well, they take the chairs and bash them.
We can't have that.
If you ever go to a festival, you pay VIP. Pay VIP, and I'm going to tell you why, because VIP is always limited occupancy.
If you can even get that, because those are always first to go.
Yeah, they're the first to go because it's limited occupancy. They're never going to oversell that area. It's designed to be more spacious, more convenient, more exit accessible. And you got to pay a higher price for the ticket, but it's well worth it. I've done that in the past with going to Life is Beautiful and stuff early on. And it was like the go, because it was like, oh my God, there's hardly nobody in here. All these kids can't afford a VIP ticket. So they do the GA thing. And so you even have your own bathrooms to go to. It doesn't give you a place to, you feel more safe doing it that way. Yeah. But chairs, they probably will never do chairs. I know at jazz festivals, they do, you know, the chairs and stuff. And
That's and a little more GA, chill, a little more chill.
Yeah, because the vibe is chill. But that Travis Scott thing goes crazy.
Shout out to Donnell and Let the Ball Bounce as well.
Shout out, Goose.
Big Lex.
Congratulations to your Braves.
Yes.
Big Lex out there.
And they were out of control. Yes. And like the child endangerment for the 9-year-old, I don't think that definitely is a topic. We did get someone.
And it needs to be.
No one.
It needs to be. It really
Rogers
does.
Getting preferential treatment? This is a great segue into the next hot topic. Regarding Aaron Rodgers, we know about last week, we discussed him a lot in his immunizations. He said he was immunized and then caught COVID. He is eligible to play this Sunday as long as he can have the two negative COVID tests. There's still no word on the status of that right now. There was some leaks in regards to he may not be able to play Sunday, which of course I wouldn't be opposed to, but the fines came down. So the Packers were fined $300,000 for violating the NFL and NFLPA COVID protocols, which these are things like if you took the vaccine, you don't got to wear a mask on the field. You don't got to wear a mask at practice or in interviews or in media.
Right.
He supposedly knew he didn't have the vaccine, but he was walking around without a mask on and doing interviews without a mask on and taking part in practices without masks on. So that was part of the issue. So Rogers was fined $14,650, as was Lazard too, which I didn't know that he had tested positive, or maybe he didn't. Maybe he just was found out to not have been vaccinated and was maybe acting as such, but they both fined the $14,000. What's interesting and what you brought to my attention today was that CeeDee Lamb, the receiver for the Cowboys, was fined $20,000 for not tucking in his jersey. So you've got someone knowingly violating the rules of health and safety protocols by both the NFL and the NFLPA, who's getting a lesser fine than someone who, I guess, you, like you said, has consistently not followed the rules of tucking in your jersey, though.
Yeah, he's been fined before in the past for this, you know, and so it's just building up. It's like a build up, and this is like the max fine because the fines were smaller at first when it came to CeeDee Lamb, and now it's gotten to the point of 20K. But that's beside the point.
Aaron Rodgers, 20K.
20K, 14K.
Like,
it doesn't make sense.
So either the people that are making the fines need to, you know, go back through that book of fines and figure out what's appropriate, what's not, because it just seems off that someone who definitely knew what they were doing in regards to their health and safety and the health and safety of the other players as well. I mean, what if everybody had caught COVID and the whole team couldn't play and then they're, you know, they have to give up a game. We don't know. It is crazy. Shout out to Les, who's here. Yeah, definitely. Yes. Slapped on the wrist. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Guru, slap on the wrist.
20K for the jersey.
For untucked jersey, 20,000.
I mean,
and not to mention you're saying endangering others. I mean, what if it had warranted death of somebody on their staff due to COVID? You can die from this too, you know,
because they're not mandated to be vaccinated. So that's what needs to be clear. So it doesn't matter if he wasn't. The fact is that he was portraying himself to have been to where he was doing the things that only those that were vaccinated could do in regards to the team.
14K is like $14 to Aaron Rodgers.
It's a sneeze. He probably donated that really to somebody last week.
It's totally, totally. We know what it is. I mean, the writing is on the wall. This is such a privileged type of behavior here for this male who had these tears pouring, and the same guy that tried to evoke the spirit of Martin Luther King in his stance, which made no sense. It was very insulting too, might I add. And then had the nerve to also cry on the shoulders of all those that pitied him, saying that he is in a woke mob right now type of situation and feeling attacked for his decisions. Okay, you have totally, totally gone off the reservation, what you're saying, and you totally have lost all integrity when it comes to work ethic by making up a lie regarding the status of your health for your job.
Yeah,
that's an integrity piece. I you can't put a price tag on integrity, but you can definitely put a price tag on people that don't have integrity. And I don't think 14K is that.
Unless I was waiting for a one game suspension. Like, I figured that was at least worth a one game suspension, if nothing else, or, you know, a higher fine, you know, 50K, something that made at least a little bit of a dent that made
I'm going 250 because
sure. The team got 300, like,
right. So 250 under him, 300 for the team. Somebody's got to have to take a hit on this because
they have to be able to show that they're not going to be able to. Other teams aren't, and their players aren't going to want to do that too. They got to prove a point. This is not a point. This is not proving anything.
No, it's not. And since of this, he's never apologized.
He said he was sorry for misleading people if they took it the wrong way, but he didn't apologize for not being
that. That's not an apology. Because now you're shifting blame. You're not even still taking the accountability part of it. You're turning the blame on others who misinterpreted what you were saying. So that's not you apologizing.
That's easy.
Oh my God.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
And I so love Aaron Rodgers as a player. I think he's so all time. He's so all time. And it's like, tough. How do you do this? Like, you're so all time. That's the one thing I have to say why Tom Brady is a GOAT. Tom Brady has never put himself in harm's way of media, talking, sure. tweeting, sure. Nothing. In his whole entire career, there has not been a media flub where he has been dishonest or showed any type of, he has never put himself in those situations, ever. Mm-mm. Maybe the Flategate would have been, it's kind of like maybe his big taboo thing, even still.
But those are still more like a lot of Patriot issues.
Right. It was never issues with him. And the thing of it is he never misspoke on anything. He's never had to turn around and go on an apology tour. He's never had to.
Aaron Rodgers is not known for his public speaking, that's for sure, either. or his
well, you know, he prides himself on his intelligence. He really does. He thinks he's the smartest man in the room. He thinks
well, his
he's
Jeopardy intelligence, maybe yes. not just the actual ability to speak in a rational way, but that part. Hey, what do you know? I know we don't want to speak too much on the next hot topic, but you sent me this meme and it just, as sad as it is, it just fits the situation so
well. But we can talk about it.
I mean, our Raiders here, obviously everybody's familiar with Friday and Chris Tucker's character Smokey. And so we've got how y'all get fired on your day off. And you got Gruden, of course, the laptop because of his emails. You got Henry Ruggs with like a gallon of Hennessy.
Somebody cost their life on that one for sure.
Yeah. But, you know, and then you've got Arnett here with his crazy gun that he was posting on social media in some videos threatening people's lives, which of course was a result in him being cut from the team from this week. So you've lost a coach and two players in a matter of a couple weeks. We thought, hey, this would be a big test for the Raiders come Sunday against the Giants. Giants lost. However, you guys did pick up DeSean Jackson. You got some speed coming to the team. You obviously need another receiver there. So any last words on this before we...
First of all, I don't mind talking about it. I really don't mind talking about it. The Henry Ruggs thing is probably the most devastating L out of all those three L's. Let's be clear. You know, because it's devastating that someone's life and pet... it took their lives, and then it took the life of Henry Ruggs as far as his football career life.
Right.
And so that's probably the biggest L, especially when he was performing so well and doing so well with our team. Damon Arnett, I could care less about. That man was trash anyway to begin with, and I don't even know why we took him in the first place. And I feel like with that pick, that was kind of pretty much on Mayock and Gruden, and that came back to bite us and expose them for their choices in draft picks because there were numerous red flags about Damon Arnett before they got him in the draft. Numerous on his right. character, behavior, all of this stuff. So now it's coming to fruition, and now we're seeing what those red flags entailed by him putting out a video and oversharing his arsenal to possibly a 12-year-old he was arguing with or a 16-year-old child. Who knows who he was arguing with, threatening them and asking them to pull up, not only pinning his address to where he was and just – giving too
and who does
much
that?
Federal like, information. Too much information.
I mean, you've got to be able to learn at some point. I know these kids are from a different era. They were raised on social media. They were raised with these avenues to be able to communicate. But now that you're making money and you have a career and a profession, I mean, whether it be in football or whether it be with the retail or county or whatever, you realize there's certain things you cannot do on your social media. Whether you think you're going to delete it or not, that stuff stays around.
It does. And the fact that he was making more money and young, I think he felt like he was invincible and that he could because he's Damon Arnett. You know, who's going to check me, boo? You know, that kind of thing.
Well, for someone who's not doing nothing, you can get checked easily. So,
yeah. And that was just what we needed to get rid of him as a cornerback. I mean, he was useless. We had no use for him. He did not perform well with our situation. This week, this season or last season. So I'm fine with that one. It just was stupid of him. Lack of maturity, of course. These are kids that are so easily influenced by showing off what they have to a whole bunch of strangers on social media. And that was also part of it, the ego and the show off piece and the fact that he thought he could. Like, come on, guy. That was just stupid. He deserves to be gone. That was just stupid.
So crazy.
Stupid on them for even choosing someone like that. And then I did watch some of DeSean Jackson's interview. And coincidentally, I mean, the guy
is
a big
Raiders fan.
He's a big Raiders fan. And his first football game he ever attended was when his brother was playing pro football and he was on the sidelines as a kid. It was Raiders and Chiefs. So it's
and who do we got this weekend?
Raiders and Chiefs. So it's going to be very interesting to see him out there. And, you know, he said he had great conversation with Carr and Mayock and Rich Bisaccia on a Zoom call, just kind of giving them a little insight of who he is. And he knows that he is an older person of the team, not necessarily by the age of us, but as a veteran status. And he says he is willing to facilitate or be in any position that need that helps this team. He's also willing to be that person to advise, or if you wanted to give counsel to any of the players, he's there. He's really, really welcoming to the Raiders, and he's really open to the idea of being a part of this team, and is really excited about it because, like I said, he said he could contribute in any capacity. He's usually going through vertically. He can go this way. He can go another way. Whatever he says, even if he gets little time on the field, he just wants to be useful. He wants to make a win happen for our team. And so I took that away from him and said, you know what? I honestly like this guy. And yes, he's older, but he's got speed, and speed is a factor.
That's and he's an option, and that's all. And you just need an extra option at this point.
And he knows about Hunter Renfrow, and he knows that he's got Josh Jacobs over there. He knows that sometimes he'll look to Waller, but he wants to be that extra slot. That's another alternative to help our team, you know? So I'm with it. I'm with it.
Oh, yes. What was interesting that they were, so today was Henry Ruggs' court hearing for his next court hearing, because he had additional charges he was being charged with. He did not show up in court because per his bail, and he was, you know, he's on house arrest. He's got a bracelet that checks the alcohol level 4 times a day. But of course, his attorney is fighting to keep his medical records and the medical records of his girlfriend from the prosecutors in the DUI case, which I don't see how that's even how they're even able to do it, considering this is a DUI case and they have to go over medical records as far as your blood alcohol, and they took blood tests. But you can obviously see where they're going with this. They're trying to basically keep the prosecution from being able to get all the details in regards to just how high their levels were, or if there were anything else in the talks. Maybe there was any other substances that showed up in the talks.
Yeah.
So it's a little sad. Again, our thoughts and prayers go out to the victim's family.
Yeah, Tina
and friends.
Man, saddening. It's saddening. It's.
Yeah.
Like I said, people really, really need to take that drinking and driving seriously. They really, really do. And they need to plan out their night before they leave the house and make sure that they're not. My Lakers are on. I'm sorry. These Lakers.
That's okay.
Me. But need to make sure.
We'll definitely get to them too.
And the resources, because everybody has these Uber and Lyft resources. And some of people are just feeling like they're too cheap to drive to the bar around the corner from their house when they can literally walk to their bar probably around the corner of their house and choose not to. So you take those 2 sips, you're still considered drinking and driving once you leave and put your keys in the car. Don't do it. Don't do it. Even if you're not overly, just be mindful of people out there on the road. We already got crazy drivers as it is. We just don't need the extra with the DUI. And Rugg's situation is just so sad and unfortunate. It's just very, it really is. This is not a cautionary tale for everybody to slow their roll. This is it.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a message for everyone. Slow your roll, for real. Not literally.
Especially with the holidays coming.
With the holidays,
we've got holiday parties, company parties.
Yep.
You know, plus we're all back in the mix of things. We're not just sitting at home in pandemic mode. We're getting out there. So, it's just a wake-up call. Before we get into your Lakers, I did want to talk a little bit about the Josevic. I can't even say his name.
Oh, Jokic. So.
Joker brothers and the Morris brothers, because I know you're big on Twitter. I know most of this transpired off Twitter. So during the game between the Nuggets and the Heat, there was a brawl sort of sorts. You know, we've known the Morris brothers to be a little dirty in their play.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like Markieff Morris had kind of bumped Joker, and then Joker came back at him and just flat out pushed him. Both were ejected from the game. Joker got suspended for 1 game. Morris got fined $50,000. Even Jimmy Butler got fined. I forgot the amount, but
I think it was like $13,000 or $14,000.
Yeah,
something.
But I think. But so it transpired. So it wasn't just that it went off into Twitter. It went onto Twitter for like 3 or 4 days. And can you kind of break down? I don't think the Morris brothers want this smoke. Because listen, these Joker's brothers
don't play.
And they're huge. They're bigger than him.
They look like that. Mafioso family. that you don't want to mess with, but like almost like they're international mafia, which is a totally different level.
I've been watching SVU, the SVU criminal undermine or whatever the one that Stabler's on now. And there's a whole Serbian, whatever group of, this reminds me of them. Like you don't want to mess with them. Like one of them means there's 100 more just a few feet away. Like you're messing with the whole country at this point.
They literally opened a Twitter account to make a statement. So that they're willing to pull up and we'll meet you in the parking lot type situation.
Yeah.
Like, we'll have a conversation about this. But the Morris brothers are dirty players. They've been dirty. It's no secret. And not for nothing, that fine was not fair for Markieff. He should have been suspended too. He initiated that contact thinking he was on the football field, literally pushing this guy with Joker, having the ball in his head, ready to shoot. And you go for the elbow to the ribs forcibly. I mean, the reaction of that warrants anybody to push you down. Now, I think Markieff was a little dramatic on his fall. I think he purposely fell harder and took a flop to make it more dramatic.
And decided to wait down there for
there. It's kind of like when you don't want to, you want to avoid the embarrassment. So you trip out in public. I always say if I trip and fall out in public, I'm just going to lay there for a while so I can get the concern.
I mean, we've seen LeBron take that little extra length too on the court.
Absolutely. But I think if he initiated it, if he didn't initiate it, this would have never happened. He initiated, he should have been suspended a game too. Should not be some kind of fine. And he should have been suspended too. They both got ejected. Why they both can't get a suspended?
Exactly.
That's totally not fair.
And Les asked about the Butler. Why did Butler get fined? Because I asked that same question too. I was like, wait, why did Butler get fined? Because he
was jaw jabbing. He was jaw jabbing.
He was trying to instigate more.
He was instigating more. They told him to shut up. He wouldn't shut up. You could see him still talking, running his mouth. And I think he was looking more directed towards those Jokic brothers too when he was talking. So that was even more fuel on the fire. But he didn't want to, he participated in it too. So the fine was fair for him. But I don't understand why one gets ejected and the other one doesn't, because you and Markieff initiated that. Like, you really did. So I just don't see that being fair.
You know, and then I don't know if it was rumor or not, but you had mentioned that the brothers had already booked their trip to Miami.
They were coming. They said, we'll see you at the next game. That's right. We're going to pull up. Hey, I wouldn't want any smoke from them. And I know they wouldn't do anything to jeopardize their brother's career. And I know it's possibly more talk, but just their presence alone should be some type of intimidation piece. Like, they meant what they said. And I've seen them in watching games with the Nuggets in real time. Something happens to their brother, they are quick.
Oh, they're the first to jump up.
First to jump up to look around and see what's going on. Like, they want to know. Like, wait, who touched baby bro? We gotta, you know.
Yeah, we're coming for him. We're coming for him. Les said that he's out tonight to versus tonight's game versus the Lakers with whiplash. Are we talking about Jimmy? Is that?
Oh, Markieff is.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, so Miami's playing the Lakers right now.
Yeah. So Markieff is out tonight because of the whiplash.
With whiplash. Whiplash from what? From getting shoved? How do you get whiplash from getting shoved?
I need him to stop. He should have been suspended for tonight's game. It wouldn't have mattered, not anyway, but still, he should have been suspended. He could take care of that whiplash on suspension.
So speaking of your Lakers, though, that are on, because the news came out today that, you know, LeBron's abdominal injury isn't as serious as that they thought. But hasn't he already been out for like 2 weeks? Isn't that serious enough?
Yeah. They were giving it 4 to 6 though on this guy. They were seriously giving a long time on this guy. They were saying 4 to 6 weeks. listen, if it's not going to be the abdominal injury, it's going to be something else. Apparently, AD had some kind of abdominal injury or pain on Saturday night when we played against OKC, excusing himself to the bench mid-game because he had, quote, abdominal pains. I mean, maybe he was abdominally painful being embarrassed watching these Lakers beat sorry and suck against teams that we shouldn't be handing 2 wins to. You know, a G League OKC team and an overtime game of Houston. We should not be going through this. It's just so embarrassing.
Facts, Arlington, facts.
And I think, it is definitely load management. Of course it is. We're going to call it.
I mean, it's the
muscle
it's
pain,
the
abdominal pains, abdominal tears, abdominal whatever.
It's senior living. That. That's what they do. Senior living.
The big game's not enough. I told you guys these guys were a slip and fall away from some type of surgery or something going on. Knock on wood.
But we can't.
Right now.
I will say before we get into other things, at my Bulls, they just beat the Mavericks.
Oh,
that's
wow.
2-7-3 teams. We are now 8-3.
That's awesome.
Our two big losses we had were the 76ers. We played them back to back and couldn't do nothing with it. And with Embiid, of course, now Embiid seems to be out, and which would have been nice had we been playing him now. But listen, beyond what people were thinking, I thought, hey, the Bulls can get in the playoffs. But this Lonzo and LaVine connection that they have, there was a couple highlights already I saw on social media from tonight's game. I mean, this team is good. This team is good. And they're good, definitely going to make some waves, especially if they can keep this up and without having any injuries. But they're all young. They're a young team. Ain't no load management here in Chicago.
That's what makes it so fun to watch. And then you don't have grumpy old men like on my team that want to pick fights with the young guys when the young guys are sunning them.
Work together. Become a unit. Right, Arlington? The Bulls are fun to watch. That's the only thing is I wish I had more to say on the Bulls, but because here's the deal. I already paid for the NFL Sunday ticket. I just can't see myself currently paying for the NFL Sunday ticket and league pass at the same time. So if anybody's got a login for me, for me to act, I don't want to watch all the games. I just want to watch the Bulls play. And that's the thing is that I've been able to catch a couple on ESPN Plus. So that's been great. From what I can tell from the highlights, FYI, if anybody's down for a road trip this weekend, I am still looking and hopefully maybe in LA come Sunday for the Bulls versus Clippers game. Tickets aren't that bad. And they're a lot more reasonable than going to see the Bulls in LA for the Lakers or to see them in Phoenix with the Suns.
Right. So, right. And they play the Lakers aspect. The following day. It's going to be an interesting type of situation with that because I don't see what my Lakers can do. We literally have to wait till LeBron comes back. We're all waiting for LeBron to come back if that makes a difference. Shouldn't make a difference with
LeBron. Well, I mean,
LeBron.
What's Russell really doing shouldn't. In the meantime? Where's Westbrook at? Where's this great tandem of team, this big three in
LA.
Not
being able to
shoot
threes, not being able to shoot at all and getting the closing shot at the end of the play in the fourth quarter. It makes no sense. That's what he's doing.
Yikes.
And then getting mad when SGA wants to steal the ball from him and make a fast break to dunk on him. And he gets talking about some old school stuff like he's never done that before. So they get their panties in a bunch for real. They really do.
Well, it's definitely getting exciting. The NBA is exciting. I'm actually becoming more of a fan earlier in the season than I usually am because the Bulls have done it for me. So I'm excited.
And shout out to Golden State Warriors, number one in the league. I can't be mad at that. I cannot be mad at that. Like, they are balling.
9-1. They don't got Klay. However, news came out today that Klay could possibly return before Christmas game, which would be like December 20th. Can you imagine that?
Gary Payton II balled out.
Yes.
They've got
shout out to Candace Parker too, because she called it. She called it ahead of time.
She sure did. She called Monday night's game. She said Steph's gonna have 50 tonight. Anytime you play against a young protege, you gotta let him know. That's right. And he showed him what time it was too. And they played an Atlanta team that was a contender last season for the Eastern Conference.
Uh-huh.
50 he dropped on them. 50. Give me that 50 piece. Like, Warriors are on fire. I'm loving watching them play too because they've got a lot of young team, and not for nothing. Now Steve Kerr is actually turning into a coach and looking like a coach.
Look at you with the compliments of Kerr. Stop.
Yeah, you have to. You have to. I mean, this is a team where he's got Draymond on the other side of Steph Curry.
Right.
But, you know, you don't even have, Wiseman's not even back. You know what I mean? You've got
JC. We are happy for Chicago, but they got the Sky. Sky just won the championship. Don't forget that.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Bulls are definitely in contention, but Mel, I wanted to ask you what your thoughts were of this whole Scottie Pippen thing and the hate that he's castigating to
Michael
Jordan
deal.
Right now.
We all know what happens when you've got a book coming out or a movie coming out. You're doing whatever you can to get your 10 minutes of fame. We all know that Scottie's had issue with Michael since, you know, they've left the league, and since we've seen Last Dance, and there was some speculation here and some interviews, but now this guy is going on like Good Morning America. He's on GC Sports. He is talking legit trash to Michael Jordan. I'm just wondering, does Michael just kick back and just keep it all in, or is he going to end up, you know, Michael's better than me because I would tell Scotty about himself. Granted, Scotty was a great player. Scotty deserves to be in the top, you know, 50, 75 players of the NBA.
He made more money than Jordan in the league.
But
he made more money in his career than Jordan.
He's
still
a little petty boy, right? He's acting like a little kid. Like maybe his wife cheated on him too much to where now he feels like he's got to just lash out at people.
Make a movie about Future then. Right. Do that.
I don't understand this hate. I that like he has here's right John. Like I, a bare I, man. I've like,
liked.
For real.
I've liked Pippin before. I don't appreciate him having the just come out and talk about topics in the book, or let the book speak for itself. We don't need all this extra stuff.
Between him,
I know
and
Stephen.
Yeah,
Stephen A. went in on him, and so I was really, I was excited to hear that. That was great. But you know, he just, yeah. Like you said, Arlene, MJ said everything about Scotty in The Last Dance. And that's probably what he hates. This is his, I'm sure once The Last Dance came out, Scotty started the book. Like he was like, oh, now it's my turn. And then, you know, this is what's going
to
happen.
But it's so maybe proven it'll be to be true of what he said.
Mm-hmm.
It's proven to be true.
Ridiculous.
To what Michael Jordan said. I mean, this is, he's showing
he just
it.
Needs his
evident.
He just needs his PR time. You know, his whoever his PR person is obviously doing good because we're all talking about him. We're all seeing it. But the only thing is it making me buy his book? No.
The
Sorry.
Man made more money than MJ in his basketball career. Let's be clear. And you still hate. Like, I don't understand.
Because he don't got
Jordan. Jordan's money comes from the shoot Nike made him a billionaire. But I'm just saying, when Michael Jordan had his contract, it was not as good as big as Scottie's. Yeah.
Excuse me. I'm choking on my lemonade here.
Goose is stupid. Yeah. But he's right.
Yeah. He's not right. He's definitely thing. On his cycle. He is.
He's on that thing.
Woo! Crimson also, tie. So a little congratulations are in order for the UNLV Rebels football, who have won their first game in 2 years.
Wow.
I know I can't laugh, but this still is the cheapest ticket. If you ever need to go to Allegiant Stadium, get you a UNLV ticket.
You can get field access
way,
at that game.
You'll be able to get in there.
You can get field access at that game. You can be all the
I
way
mean,
down
they won.
The field if you want
I know
to.
There's. I know we've got some of our UNLV fans here that, you know, obviously thought that they've played hard. They've been playing well, just not enough. And so apparently on Saturday they beat New Mexico, and it was enough to make the win. I mean, it's just, it's sad that.
Good for them.
I hope the program can do better to live up to the facilities that they're playing at.
I need them to do better because those John Barr commercials with that UNLV football coach are just, oh, they're hard
John
to watch.
John Barr, period.
It's a hard to watch. It's a hard watch, you know? And I got to give him all due respect for trying to put, you know, notice of the UNLV football team through his marketing of his selling cars, but
it's just
man,
so extra.
It's a hard, so hard watch.
Hey, y'all, special announcement mid-show today. Mo and Mel, we are excited to announce that come this Friday and Saturday, we are going to be speaking with host Kip Ortenberger, and it's on PBS, Vegas PBS here, Channel 10. It's Channel 10 on everything, cable, satellite, right. Your regular TV. We're going to be on Nevada Week. We are the fourth guest that appears. That'll be this Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific time. And then also the Nevada Week in person, which is on Saturday at 6:30 Pacific time. So I've got my DVR already scheduled to record. I'm excited for it. It was great to be in the studio. It was great to meet Kip. It was great interacting with the audience.
Yeah, it was
not
nice.
The audience, but interacting with the other guests that were there.
Yeah, it was nice. We were in the green room chatting, and they gave us these complimentary Nevada Week mugs that were really
lovely
nice.
Mugs.
And we
Thank
sat
you.
With them as our prop, you know, like we had something in them, and we really didn't. It's the first time I really, well, actually I had a little bit of water or something, but
thanks, Goose. Appreciate it. Thank you,
Goose.
Arlington.
Thank
hey, I mean,
you.
It,
thank you.
It's always, you know, it's nice to be able it to is. Be seen and to be noticed. And
it is.
It was
cool.
Great to share kind of some of our topics. It was about Nevada. It's about, thanks, you guys. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank
it.
You. All powers.
Kind of about the Las Vegas scene. So we talked about the Raiders. We talked a little personal stuff in regards to our thoughts and into some things with the Raiders or Las Vegas sports. The issue of, you know, the disparities in female basketball or female sports in general. And so it was good. We had a good time. And hopefully one day we might come back and share more. Because here's the deal. I think we both realize is that we get spoiled doing an hour because we usually go to hour 15 minutes, hour 20 minutes. Sticking it all that we got to say, and you guys know me and Mo can talk. So sticking what we have to say in 7 minutes and then the other one was 13 minutes was almost impossible. We literally probably had two questions.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough. He had a long list of questions for us and we couldn't even tackle them all, you know,
we couldn't
pick the best one. So
There definitely needs to be a part two or something. So yeah.
Oh, the men and women soccer team. Yes, they do deserve props. They're better than the football team. I mean, the soccer program at UNLV has always been a great thing. If you guys didn't read JC's comment, he was talking about that with them deserving their props. And he's absolutely right. They've always had a really good, strong program over there. They're able to recruit easier over there. They're able to do a lot of things. And not for nothing, even the golf team does well over at UNLV. But this football team, not to diminish the golf team, I'm just saying, not to diminish those other sports, they just all do better than this football team. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take. But the recruitment is very hard here. With the Raiders team here, maybe it could look at draft opportunities, might be part of that now as a recruitment piece. Before that, with this being a 21 and older town, you can't really take these boys out. Or ladies, if they want to be a kicker or in a position where we go co-ed for football, out anywhere for any some sort of type of entertainment.
But FYI, I don't just because there is, I know the girls, I think, might have played yesterday. I know the guys, you know, the men's basketball played tonight. You need to be COVID vaccinated and show proof. It's all web-based. You have to do it before you get there. I know some people have showed up to Raiders games, to whoever that require the vaccination, and they don't have it done. You've got to have it done prior to be able to get in. It's not just showing your pass. It's all electronic now. So if you're going to UNLV men's or women's basketball game, make sure that you have your vaccination, that you have it already downloaded. I know you can go on the UNLV website and figure that out. For right now, it's 12 and over. I know in December, it's going to be 5 and over because now that kids are allowed to be vaccinated between 5 and 12, they're going to change that as well. So something to be mindful of.
Now, did they say, Mel, if once you get in as vaccinated, you masks are not required or they are
masks
required?
Masks are not required, yes. Okay. Masks are not required. So I know there was some media that was there on Fox 5 that I was watching before the show. She was like, this is my first time not wearing a mask. So to be there and not to have to wear a mask, you know, it's interesting. So,
and I do understand why they did this. A lot of people were like, well, why did they do that with the football stadium? Well, the football stadium is 65,000. The attendees are going to be less than half of that. And it's probably a more spacious venue where you don't have to be tested. Whereas being in the Thomas and Mack is a smaller capacity arena. However, there are students there.
If they ever pack it.
Yeah, if they ever pack it. But however, it's students involved, more students involved when they go to the basketball attendance. So I think it's a liability thing. They don't want the students getting affected by COVID.
Let's go into a little football. I don't know if anybody else is out there betting like me. So I drove out to Arizona and I made a FanDuel account because a friend of mine was like, I see their bets. They have the best kind of parlays you could do. They have so many options, but it's not here in Nevada. You have to be in like one of 10 states. One happened to be Arizona. So took a road trip out to Arizona, found a little spot that was just far enough off the border where you could finally get onto FanDuel. I made a few bets here on my William Hill app too. Lost them all.
Yeah, this was a tough week of football. I mean, I walked in it with not placing any bets or making any
The Broncos for the Cowboys. Cowboys lose. I mean, I'm not mad at
with
that.
With Dak Prescott.
As a better, you pretty much believe the Cowboys were going to do it. Then you got Baker Mayfield versus the Browns, of course, or Baker Mayfield versus the Bengals. Of course, I was rooting for the Browns, but nobody expected Baker and the Browns to beat the Bengals. The Bengals have been
especially
on a high.
With the news of OBJ leaving, but there's no Kareem Hunt and stuff. So you got
they were proving a point. Like we can do it without you.
We can do it without it. Yeah.
And then the one above all, the Jaguars beating the Bills.
Yeah.
And the low score the game was like, I think it's 9-6 or something crazy. I mean, not only was my fantasy gypped, my bets were gypped, people that you thought were bringing in your points. I mean, just, it wasn't happening. It was awful.
I think the biggest upset of all is Rams and Titans. No one saw that coming.
Listen, the pick six right off the bat.
Yeah, especially with Derrick Henry. And Adrian Peterson, can we give Adrian Peterson his flowers?
Yes.
Did that man
and
he,
him giving his jersey to his dad was so sweet.
And started playing and balled out for them. Mm-hmm. Did he just not come from his couch to just get on the field and ball out?
And is doing it.
Yeah. Didn't see that coming at all.
Listen, the Titans are dangerous. The Titans are dangerous. They look good. And to be that great against the Rams, who have an awesome defense. Now, granted, Von Miller, who was their new acquiree via trade, he did not play on Sunday as well. Right. But would it have made that much difference? No. Matt Stafford had the worst game of his season, I believe. It was absolutely terrible. As my fantasy quarterback, I was like, why, Lord, why?
It's bad.
But there is some bad positive news. There. Like I said, my guy Russell is back this week. No word on Chris Carson, however. I don't want to rush that because I just need a healthy Chris Carson to go through the rest of the season with. I don't want you to rush back just for this week and then you injured again. So
I still have him on my IR. I haven't given up on Chris Carson. I'm still letting him.
He's still on my IR too. Because he's a great workhorse. Should he come back and be healthy?
Yeah. I'm not going to drop him. I'm keeping him steady. I'm patiently sending prayers and cards to, you know, Chris Carson to heal and get ready and right at the right time.
Right.
Yeah.
So Odell Beckham Jr. definitely was put on waivers. He did not get picked up. So now he's a free agent and is free to sign with whoever he wants. Apparently, he's looking at the Packers, Saints, or Chiefs. And from what I read earlier today was that the Packers sent over an offer for him, but may not be as high as he wants. And the Packers don't have that kind of money to spend.
Right.
So, and here's the deal. Does he really make a difference for Kansas City? Because Kansas City just seems to be so off. Having an extra target isn't helping Patrick Mahomes at all.
They have weapons. They're just depleted.
Now the Saints could probably use him. I mean, you know.
I can see that.
That's something that could work. But
he's a $7 million cap. So who's going to pay the $7 million?
I know Seattle can't, and it would have been nice.
Raiders couldn't. You know, that was also in the talks too. And then he had previously said, well, I'll wait till postseason and join a team. Right. Well, postseason, your dollar, you're probably going to want more for your value. I don't know.
So starting, I think it starts this weekend. We've got the Hard Knocks in season. It's the very first season of Hard Knock. You know, I love my Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Did I play this last week? I don't think I did. Did I?
No, okay. You got to.
So I wanted to save it for this week. Check this out.
We got everybody we need in this locker room. I feel it. You feel it. We're getting better each week.
Everything you've witnessed.
Be wise.
Is only the beginning.
Hang in there. Get better. It's a long, long road. All that matters is right now. Right now, let's go!
For the first time on Hard Knocks, experience the NFL.
The season is stressful, a lot of pressure.
During the season.
Yeah! Yeah! Let's go!
That boy good. Be relentless.
Together on three! One, two, three! Yeah!
Hey, hey. So that is what I'm waiting for. The new episode, season one of Hard Knocks is coming. So I'm definitely excited for that. Mo, there she is. All right.
Yeah, I wanted to tap back in.
I know you're taking advantage of it. Yeah.
Yes, I was like, don't want us to cut.
Now, we're not excited over the Colts, I know, but it gives us something else football-wise, something for us to listen to.
I mean, I'm curious. I wouldn't mind not watching it. I'm curious to get.
I always like learning more about the players. Now, Dallas didn't do a great job of really getting more personal with other players than a few, but I feel like this could be something where we get to know more of the players. It gives you something to look forward to watch when you're out there and watching. So that'll be great.
Trayvon Diggs made that show, and seeing Jerry Land and Jerry World was the other takeaway from that. That's all I got.
Most definitely. One thing that we didn't touch on that I want to touch on today because we didn't do it last week was this whole Suns investigation over the owner, Robert Sarver. And then the newest news to it. So basically we're having a, for lack of a better relation, is kind of like a a John Gruden situation here in regards to Robert Sarver, who is the owner of the Phoenix Suns. There's been accusations of his being racist, sexist, homophobic, having a toxic workplace. They had interviewed over 70 former and current employees, only asking them one specific question. They asked all the employees, what was it like working for him, or what is it like working for him? And for some reason, all the answers were very similar, that he had a very toxic workplace. There were some issues with racism, sexism, him showing pictures of his wife in a bathing suit for the Suns, parading that around the office. What's even crazier that came out, I think, yesterday or today, is that his wife, Penny, had messaged three ex-Suns employees in wake of the scandal and was attempting to intimidate them. Yes, keep sipping tea. This girl is Bonnie and Clyde here. This girl is riding out for her man. And
she don't want to lose a bag. You know how much she had to put up for the live of those comforts?
I need a visual of these two because I can only imagine some 75-year-old man and some like 40-year-old lady just really
scumbag. And not to mention he was trying to get the players to impregnate dancers, strippers, whatever the case may be, for some apparent reason. Had a kick about that. I mean, the man is disgusting. I mean,
it's terrible.
And I just want to know what's going to happen with this. I just want to know what's going to happen to this.
Well, my thing is does it take longer because he's the owner of a team? Because, you know, when this was found out about John, he was the coach, but he was out. So,
right.
What can be done does the board have to get together? Do they have to vote on it because he is the manager, like how, or the owner, how do you really get somebody out that's that high up?
I mean, I guess you would have to do the same thing you do with the Donald Sterling situation.
Oh yeah.
I think
which
to a
took
point
a while in itself.
Yeah.
Too.
It took a while with itself and to the point where there was no out. But I mean, if these players don't protest it, I mean, this would be another opportunity for them to sit out, to not play for this owner, for all of those things. Granted, this is a new squad and the things that happened were part of the past squad in some cases, but still sending some kind of message, I think it probably would expedite a process like no other, especially this early in the season. I mean, why not take a few L's if you can, you know, if you can help it. You definitely would bounce back in this conference if you did.
I also wanted to touch upon the Golden Knights. We still are riddled with injuries. However, yesterday I went to the Seattle Kraken versus VGK game, and we won 4-2. Great game. Great energy. Fans were staying there till the end. It was – I got a small clip I can show you from the game. I mean,
you have
great to game.
Too.
Well, so here's the other thing too. So, you know, we have, I got about six tickets. Me and my girlfriend are sharing some season tickets. So our tickets are up in a difference, are up on the upper bowl.
Yeah,
and sat there for the first period. But there's definitely, these tickets aren't selling out like they used to.
Right.
And there's gaps. And there was gaps in seats that we could notice for a while. Plus, you know, I have my own maneuvers that I like to, you know, access while at the game to figure out what seats are still empty. And so second period moved on down there because there was some open seats. And when we sat down, it's so funny that people next to us were like, "Where have you guys been all game?" And so we were like, "Oh, sweet. That means nobody was sitting here. So
right.
We're going to
like,
make
oh,
it our home.
Late. We just got here. Like we,
oh, you know,
here.
We were busy. We were at the bar. No big deal. And we ended up sitting next to some cool people. She was actually a chef for a couple of the Raiders here.
Nice.
Used to work at Nike at the Nike employee store. Heard some stories about that. The ladies in front, the couple in front of us had their Kraken gear on, avid supporters of the Kraken. So it was a good little chemistry. It was a fun atmosphere. But yeah, tickets are not selling out. I know that I'm getting texts because I signed up for them last year. I'm getting texts the day before game saying, "Hey, we've got a limited number of $49 tickets," or da 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 this and that. So definitely still tickets. And like I said before during last week's show, is if you can make your way down to the strip and decide last minute you want to go to the game, there, you can buy tickets on Access through the first period. Yeah. After the first period, they stop. So you can get tickets, and most likely the sellers are discounting them just because they need to make some money off of it.
Right, right.
So it's a great way to get in the game if you need to, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. Definitely a good game.
We still need to make a support on the Golden Knights. I don't care if they're doing not so their subpar this
but they're
season.
Great. The gold jerseys worked. I have a feeling now that I have to wear my gold hat every time I go, because I went the two times I wore my gold hat, we won. The one time I wore my beanie, we did not win. So now I'm getting a little superstitious in regards to my
stuff.
I know we had mentioned Candace Park a little bit earlier, but I did have one other girl power. Big shout out to UConn's Paige Buckner's. She got one of the biggest NIL deals that I think any female in college sports has got. She signed a huge contract with StockX. She'll be working with them in a multi-year deal to design exclusive products and wear footwear and apparel. She's going to be the centerpiece of their upcoming advertising campaign focused on women in sports. And she had mentioned that basically the partnership is about equality and authenticity. And so
nice.
If that's not the big girl power, I don't know what is. This girl, you know, coming in, she's, listen, when she gets to the league, it's going to be a whole other thing. So congratulations to her. Moving on to some sneakers before we get into our picks. Let's see, we got the Air Jordan 6s, the Midnight Navies. These aren't going to be released out until probably March of 2002. But if I had to pick any sixes,
I do
these
like
ones
those.
Are nice. I do like these. I do have low sixes that are Seahawks. Yeah. I love those. But these are nice too. It's just, you know, white is such a hard thing to keep clean, like especially in Vegas. All the dust, when the wind blows, all these dust and leaves and everything is everywhere. But they're great. They're a beautiful shoe.
Yeah,
like we also have the Ryu Hachimura.
Yeah. So, you know, Ryu, who's a pro basketball player, we all know, he is on Jordan brand. So he has a pair of these Jordans that are coming out in his version of the eights. And so they're nice. Like, I like the suede on them. I like the detailing on them. They kind of look into the.
And I'm not an eights person, but these are nice. These would be a nice little fall winter kind of look.
Oh, yeah, you know, absolutely.
For sure.
I love it.
There's no release date on these right now,
right?
But we'll see what happens with that.
Right.
These are interesting. We've got the AJ 13 lows. These glow in the dark. So this is the singles day. They come out on the 11th, November 11th. The left you can see is the regular. The right, as you can tell, is when they're lighted up at night and glow in the dark. So, hey, that's kind of a nice little.
Not bad. J Balvin's putting out a sneaker too that's going to glow. So I think we're all on this glow kick right now with the Jordan
brand. It's a festival thing maybe too, or just being able to be lighted up at night and you're at the lounges or clubs or whatnot. I wasn't sure if we had this one on before, but I definitely wanted to look at it again. Oh, I don't think I got it in here. Well, I'll show this one. So this was
the Bathing Ape. If you guys aren't familiar with the Bape clothing line, it's also one of those popular Hypebeast clothing lines as well. They have like the emblem of the gorilla, like as their logo on it for Bathing Ape. But these are their shoes that they're rolling out on a like kind of Easter looking colorway in November on a Sunday, this Sunday for a drop. It's their pastel collection that they're doing a secret drop on. So I do like those. They're not bad.
It's kind of like a hard sell for the middle of November, but
yeah, but they're going to sell because it's Bape, and Bape doesn't ever put out any sneakers like that. So, sneakers for that matter. So to have something like that when they collabing, it's a huge deal.
And I had a picture of it. I don't know what I did. I don't know how it didn't get on the screen, but the AJ1 High OGs, the Bordeaux's are released. I think it's on the 4th. I think it's the 14th. I'm double checking right now.
Possibly.
I think it's the 14th. But
and not to mention there are
the 20th.
The 20th of November. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you can, I don't know.
Oh yeah, those are nice.
Yeah,
those are nice.
From
what
silver,
I can see.
The Bordeaux.
Oh yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
That sounds really nice.
A lot.
And not to mention Travis Scott's are coming out, releasing, I believe, this weekend. And to me, everyone in the comments of that irony of the whole thing are saying that all the fans, the injured, and those family of the deceased should all receive a free pair of Travis Scott sneakers.
I mean, at that point, they don't need the sneakers. Like, just pay for their funeral service.
They need all. And... They need everything. Honestly, at this point, but yeah. Nonetheless, these are a sneaker that probably will still sell out. Sure. Everybody's praying that because of the incident, it lowers our, it gives us a greatness of chances of getting them over the bot people, or the bots that the demand may not be so popular to
those
acquire.
Dang bots, man.
But you're still gonna have some people that are still trying to cop a value off of those. So
I don't see it
moving too hard where we get a chance to get some of those. I don't think we're gonna get them.
All right, so we're getting some pick 'em. So last week we had Guru picking with us. Mo, you had 4 right. Guru had 5. I hailed with 6 correct.
Nice.
So, 6-4 me. We are now tied 4-4 for the season. Yeah. I wish I would have taken my advice during my picks that I put on my bets, because, you know, I had picked the Browns. I had picked the Chargers. I don't know what I was doing. Oh, well. No worries.
It's okay.
So this week, we got week 10 coming up. Teams that are on bye, the Bears, the Bengals, the Texans, the New York Giants. So
yes,
keeping that in mind. Thursday Night Football, the Baltimore Ravens at Miami. Now, last week, Tua did not play. He was off, and I'm not sure what the status is for him this week, if he's still not playing. However, I feel like Lamar's going to come through there and kick it, you know?
I got the Ravens for tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Just put me down for that. I already did. Shout out to Let the Ball Bounce Pick'ems.
Okay.
So I already, you know, did that. And
shout out to Heather Reddy. She beat me. Yeah. She beat me terribly. However, I will give it up to Mooney on the Bears, because he did get 2 touchdowns. Had he gotten me 4 or 5, I probably could have won. But since the rest of my team did so poorly, yeah. Great game. I got the Buffalo Bills at New York Jets. So hopefully last week was just, you know,
a fluke.
A fluke. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, a fluke.
Week 9.
Yeah.
Week 9 siesta for everybody. I think everybody kind of took their foot off the gas week 9. I think it was just kind of
a
time
it's like
a
midway.
Rest.
We're midway through the season.
Yeah,
it's just
a mid rest.
Half over.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, so going Buffalo, same with you.
Yeah, put me down.
Yeah, although the whole Josh Allen with Josh Allen, the linebacker for the Jaguars, so he basically got sacked by him, got sacked by the guy with the same name, and then he also got picked off. It was his very first pick for the season by Josh Allen,
nice
linebacker, and nice. Josh Allen, the quarterback. Yeah, Tampa Bay at Washington.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to roll with Tampa Bay on it.
I definitely got to go with Tampa Bay. I don't see Washington as, I don't know. You know, if there was going to be an underdog this week.
It would be the Washington
one. Washington.
Yeah, but I think they already had their underdog with the Saints. And they, even though they have a franchise history of losing to the Saints, I just think that was probably their L for a while. So I think.
This could be a good week for betting, if, as long as there's no underdog issues, because now we've got the Falcons at Dallas. Now, Dallas obviously coming off that terrible loss, they've got to get it together, and
they have to redeem themselves. I don't want them to redeem themselves, but I'd be very entertained to see them lose. But I'll go with the
I might have
Cowboys.
To bet like the spread on this one for Atlanta,
or take the money line or something.
Yeah,
do money line or something. I don't know.
Well, not money line, but I want the points.
I mean,
I want the points.
Oh, the points. Yeah. Oh. So maybe just Cowboys then. I'm just gonna
same.
Go
I'm taking the Cowboys. Yeah. Okay, so we got Saints at Tennessee. Now, the Titans had a big game, came off of it. Adrian Peterson was doing well. Now, the Saints, are they still having quarterback issues? I can't remember what happened.
I mean, Jameis is done.
And Taysom, I think, got injured too, didn't
yes.
he?
Yes. Yeah.
Who is their
quarterback? So they had that third string that came in. I forget his name. He had a funny name, Simeon.
Simeon was wasn't Simeon the other guy? Oh, maybe that
I
was
thought
him.
Simeon
yeah,
was
sorry.
From New Orleans.
No, you're right.
Yeah,
you're
so
right.
Simeon.
So that's, he actually did good that 2 weeks ago. I didn't watch
okay,
this
so
last
Okay, so are they at
game.
Home or are they away?
No, they're in Tennessee.
Oh, then I'm going to go with the Titans.
Yeah. I'm just going to go opposite, even though I think Tennessee is going to go, just because, you know, we go a couple squared away here. Jacksonville Jaguars at the Colts. I'm going with the Jags. They're kind of on a roll right now.
I'm going to go with the Colts.
Okay.
I'm just
going to
see
how that goes. Yeah. The Lions at Pittsburgh. Monday Night Football was crazy. the Steelers and the Bears, and that a taunting call by Cassius Marsh was just ridiculous. And that Cassius Marsh taunting, which nobody thinks was taunting, however he got it, was the sack on a third down. So Pittsburgh would have never got the field goal, and the Bears would have won.
And I'm going with the Steelers. Justin Fields
did great.
He did amazing. He did really good. I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers only because of the reason of favorable calls. Calls through that whole game were favorable to the Pittsburgh Steelers. It made no sense. I had to give Chicago props because they sacked Big Ben three times. Their defense was really on a mission. They really were doing the work, you know, and then offensively we get these punitive little BS ref calls, crazy calls.
I'm going for their veteran to be offside. The Lions is because the Pittsburgh has been either they've been losing or they've come very close to losing most of their games.
Yeah, but when you have the refs in your pocket, I feel like you're not going to lose. So I'm just
gonna
go.
I think there's
going
to be a little extra scrutiny now that we've seen.
It needs to be. Because then I could believe the Lions to win it, but I'll just go the opposite of you on that.
All right, so we've got the Browns at the Patriots. You know I'm going to go with the Browns.
I'll go with the Browns too.
Okay.
I don't like New England, so I'm going to go with them.
Vikings at the Chargers. Chargers came through last week and won.
I'm going with Minnesota.
Okay. I'm going with the Chargers again.
Yeah, go with them. I just don't want anybody in my division to win. You know how I am with that.
I get it. I'm going to go the opposite side. Here come mine that I'm voting against now too. So we got the Panthers at Arizona.
Cardinals. Sorry, Cardinals. I'm sorry.
But you know what's crazy is that the Cardinals beat the Niners and they were without Kyler Murray.
Yep.
And without DeAndre Hopkins.
Who's still questionable. And DeAndre Hopkins, I think, is on injury, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I have both of those guys on my fantasy. Yeah. I'm going to go with the Cardinals.
You know what? I'm going to go with the Panthers, though, because you know what? CMC played last weekend. He has his first weekend back. He's coming back this week. I know there's no Sam Darnold right now. He got injured, but I'm hoping whatever needs to be done that we can just run it through CMC. Let's just make it happen.
Let's see if it's in run CMC. Is it at home?
I'm curious to know what's it's home for the Cardinals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stick with that.
Okay. The Eagles
could handle a second loss, though. They really could. Yeah.
Eagles at the Broncos.
That's going to be a great game.
I can't believe the Broncos still beat the Cowboys. That's just.
I like Teddy Bridgewater with them too. And I don't want them to win for AFC divisional purposes. I feel like the Broncos will pull this off.
Who's up there with you guys right now?
I think Broncos is right up under us, if I'm not mistaken, on our standings. I know we're 5-3.
You said you're going with the Eagles?
Yeah, because I don't want them to win in my AFC division, of course. I mean, I feel like the Broncos will beat them. I know that possibly that could happen, but I'm not rolling with it.
All right, we've got Seattle at the Packers. I'm not thrilled with it. I'm going to put all positive vibes into Sierra's post so she doesn't post anything crazy.
Oh, all of Sierra's prayers?
Just
go ahead and put that in there with it.
Put all of Sierra's prayer in it too.
Right.
Shout out to the...
Right. Because the Sierra prayers got people winning.
They had it on there.
Who's that?
I sound old, don't I? Who just dropped their album that had the Sierra's prayer on it? I listened to it. I forgot.
I don't know. Could be Sweetie. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Summer Walker.
Oh, Summer Walker.
She had
Sierra's
prayer.
Okay. Somebody with an S. I knew it was somebody with an S. I couldn't remember.
All right. I'm going Seattle for you.
Yeah, I want to roll with you guys on Seattle just because I'm being an Aaron Rodgers hater, even though realistically I know he'll probably come back winning this game.
What's up, Marisha?
Yes. Hey, Marisha. He's looking
shout
like
out to y'all. It. Y'all still in Spain. Happy.
Yes.
This trip looks amazing.
Happy was that a birthday or anniversary trip?
It was birthday for Brandy, her 40th. Welcome to the 40 Club.
Doing it big in Spain.
I know.
Yeah. Well, actually, were they in Spain or were they in? Oh, no, they were in Spain. Yeah. My other friends, they were celebrating 50 in Greece. I'm like, everybody's going to Russia for big milestone birthdays. That's dope.
Dang.
Yeah. Yes. So I hope you guys had a blast out there. So I'm going to roll with your Seahawks on that. I'm going to, I really believe it's going to be Green Bay, but I'm just an Aaron Rodgers hater because I don't like that 14K he got slapped on the wrist with.
Yeah.
I want him to lose.
I'm hoping there's some news that breaks like Saturday that he can't play Sunday.
Yeah. I'm letting emotions go off of this. I want him to lose. Logically,
all right.
I don't
think we got Chiefs at the Raiders.
Who are my Raiders? Okay. Breakout day for DeSean Jackson. Breakout game for Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow and Foster Moreau.
And you guys beat the Chiefs here last year, correct?
Yes. We beat them away. We beat them away. And then we lost them here. But we lost them here with no fans. Our Raider Nation is going to be in full effect.
All right, so I'm going to go with you. I'm going to take this Raiders yeah. call with you. I think that's – I mean, Chiefs, I just don't understand what's going on with them right now anyways. Monday Night Football. So we've got two great divisional for Sunday Night Football and a great – well, maybe not so great divisional for Monday Night Football. We got the Rams at San Francisco.
Ooh.
Yes.
I'm going to have to go with those Rams.
I do indeed. I know Vaughn will be there. I think the Niners have been suffering. You know, of course they lost to Arizona, but sucks for them to have all these divisional opponents.
Rams been struggling too, though. It's kind of about what with both teams.
Well, they struggled. The thing is, I feel like the Rams have struggled less. They had one bad game, which was this game. And the 49ers have just had several bad games.
Well, yeah, they have been on house of cards, haven't they? So I'm thinking Sean McVay is going to have these guys ready. Yeah. So, I'm going with the Rams.
All right, y'all. That was a good one. I just want to one more time repeat that Mo and I are going to be on Vegas PBS Channel 10 for Nevada Week. It's going to be Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific time, and Saturday, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time for Nevada Week in person. You know, we had a great time, and shout out to the host, Kip Ortenberger, who is the host for both those shows. We really had a good time. And you want to tune in and check us out, you know?
Yeah. We're not taking autographs.
Yeah. No autographs yet.
No autographs yet.
We really appreciate you again. Happy Veterans Day to all that have served. Yes. And we appreciate you. And I'm going to be sleeping in tomorrow. I can't wait for that.
Good for you.
But anyways, you guys, take care. Have a good weekend. Mo, be safe at the festival. I look forward to getting your coverage of it for next week. And we will see everybody again next Wednesday.
All right.
Bye.
Out.